Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I'm your faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations, and Jamie is already here.
Hello.
Hello, Jamie.
Hi. Sorry,
yeah,
I'm trying to get my...
Change, so.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to get my seat comfortable. My back is hurting. Stupid benches at the restaurant were not very nice. I don't know if Karen's going to be here, but what do we have tonight? Walking Dead and Passage.
Well, the Passage and The Gifted. Mm. And that's it.
You guys have The Gifted. All right. I might mention Shadowhunters at some point. Actually, if she's not here yet,
I was just going to say you could do that now while we're waiting on Karen.
All righty. Okay. Where did I have it? I had it written here. All righty. Well, the episode this week was called Original Sin. Now, I didn't read the last book, but I don't think this was in here. It's called Original Sin because Simon's trying to get rid of his mark of Cain, which that part was in the book, obviously. And he goes and he meets this really old vampire that can help him, and it actually is Cain who was given the mark, like him from the Seelie Queen. But he was never able to finish the ritual to get rid of it because he was afraid he'd die. So Simon and Isabel go to the Seelie Queen to get rid of it, and it almost kills him, and he uses a lot of blood, and she lets him drink his blood. And it seems pretty obvious, or at least to me, I think they're heading to at least have somewhat of a relationship with them on the show since they do in the books, which I think will be good. And then the rest of the story was about Clary and Jonathan and him blooping the apartment to Paris, thinking he could make her like him and listen. And, you know, he's creepy and likes her, but he's her brother, so, you know. No, but it was pretty good. I'm sad it's the last half of the season. I know, obviously, the books are maybe a bit more intense, but I still like it. I still think it's a good show. And that's really all I have to say.
Right.
I don't really have a lot. I'm just trying to think of something to fill the space.
Yeah. All right, well, Karen's here, so.
Okay, good.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, you guys. How are you?
Hello.
Good.
Nice to be back here for another short show, huh?
Yep. I'm glad it's short. I'm falling asleep. I am so tired tonight. I don't know
it's
why.
It's early for you, Jamie.
Yeah, I think it's because I had two interviews. I just got back from being out for a while because we went out for my dad's birthday. I ate way too much of his cake, and my back's hurting from the seat, so I'm just like, I want to go to bed. So.
Aww.
But anyway. So, what do you guys want to start with first? You want to get The Walking Dead out of the way, or you want to do The Passage?
I guess.
Get The Walking Dead out of the way.
Just get the Walking Dead out of the way. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. This was another episode. It's like more happened, but I still feel like, I don't know, like as much as a lot happened, for some reason of thinking it back, it still feels like a little boring. Is it just me? I mean, I liked it, but I don't know. It feels like something's missing.
I thought it was slow.
Yeah.
I thought it was slow and felt a bit like filler, which I think is how we get in the middle of the season, right? Like this is episode 11 or something like that. 12. Do you remember the first season was 6 episodes? And, you know, now that we have these long seasons, it's not just this show. Many shows might be too long. It was slow. I thought it was slow. And I thought there was a lot of stuff that I didn't really care about that much because almost all the characters that had the screen time were new characters or like mid-range, none of the kind of legacy
or
characters.
Or like Henry and really annoying, right?
Yeah. I mean, we had Michonne, but...
yeah, there wasn't a lot.
Some focus
I don't
on
know.
Michonne,
I mean, there were pieces that were good. I don't know. I agree. It was a little slow. What else? I was going to say something else. I forget what it was. I don't know. I think the scene with Alpha killing the ones that challenged her, though, that was, I mean, it was gross, but that was a pretty cool scene, I thought. Pretty intense.
It was pretty cool.
And also, I was struck as funny, too. I mean, I guess it's not really supposed to be funny, like not in a ha-ha way, but it was kind of like creepy funny. Like, she, okay, so she garrots the girl and all the way through to cut her head off, which I don't think is actually that easy. I'm just thinking about shows where they say things like that. You know, it's not as easy as a television. No, but she cuts her head off, and then she hands it to her boyfriend, the girl's boyfriend, and he's just, like, holding her head and crying. That just is so bizarre, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, don't cry, it makes you weak. And then she stabs him anyway. No, but I think that was a pretty cool scene out of the show. I think the problem is, too, a lot of the rest of the show is very predictable because of, like, Henry going after her. And you're right, what was the other parts of the story were boring. Like, I really didn't care about, at least right now, I mean, not that I haven't in the past, but, like, right now I really didn't care about the scenes with Gabriel and Rosita. I thought that was kind of boring. And a lot of, even the stuff, though, with Alexandria, a lot of it is just kind of like them arguing, like, because she's yelling at them about the radio tower and nobody agrees with her except for Aaron. And it's just, a lot of that's kind of back and forth, you know?
Yeah. So a couple things I really do agree with you, especially about, so the whole Rosita, Sadiq, Eugene, and Father Gabriel, it's like a love quadrangle that we have going on there, right?
Yeah, if it was just Eugene and her, I'd care a little bit more, but I don't care about them.
I don't really care about that. I just feel like it's not a very important...
Yeah, the scheme of the stuff going on, it's not... Right.
It's not a very important storyline. I don't really care about who's the father of that baby, what's going on, and I really feel... mainly, like, I don't know why they have to have all of them involved in it. Like, why can't it just be that they're having a baby, that Rosita and Gabriel are having a baby, right? Like, why? So, you know, in the comic book, Rosita and Eugene are together, and she's pregnant with Eugene's baby. And there's none of this, like, love triangle kind of business, right?
I thought it was Sadiq's baby. Last time you said it was Sadiq's or something in the comic.
Oh, yeah, it's Sadiq's baby. She's with Gabriel, but she was previously with Sadiq. And so she was with Sadiq before she got together with Gabriel, right?
In
the comic book,
it's Eugene instead of Gabriel.
And the comic is Eugene, and it's only Eugene, and there's not any, like, sort of previous. So I don't, I'm not sure why they're trying to cook up, like, a love triangle. It feels really low stakes.
It's not a very interesting one, so, yeah.
Right? Yeah, they're all
sort
of like...
Yeah, I guess they're trying to get some of their everyday life in it, but I think when you watch a show, it's going on so long. Like, a lot of that, unless it's really, like, full of character development and good meaty parts, like, you know, when there's sometimes Carol or something, although she hasn't been as good
yeah.
as interesting this season, then it's interesting. But this is just kind of like the day-to-day, like, we don't care type of thing, I guess.
Right, and it just surprises me at their choice to put Gabriel and Rosita together because they have no chemistry. And
yeah, I agree.
Right? There's no chemistry between the two of them. I don't think
she really had chemistry with Sadiq, though, either.
Well, but they're almost more believable because they had no story. They had no he's a new character. He has no history.
That's
like,
true.
Gabriel and Rosita have been together on the show for a couple seasons and barely interacted. Like,
together.
they have no... For both being on the show for like three seasons, they have no interaction really, or almost
right.
like how many scenes do they have together? And he was a very unlikable character who did nothing to, you know, her previous person she was in love with, Abraham, was like the ultimate alpha male, right?
Yeah, it is kind of a stretch there.
I just don't see them together in any way. It would be more believable to me, maybe Eugene, because we know that Eugene's been in love with her since the two
yeah.
characters were introduced. And I might believe that they finally made it work as they did in the comic book or like, I just don't understand why the show is trying to push this love triangle on us. Especially as we near the end of the season, we know characters are going to die. And I feel like anybody who's not Carol or Daryl or Michonne is probably at risk of dying.
That's a good point.
God, do you hear my cat crying at me?
I could before, but okay.
I don't know what she's mad about. So that was a little boring. I think that the whole thing with the Whisperers was a little, I mean, it was kind of great, that death. I saw a lot of commentary online that this was the most gruesome death on The Walking Dead, maybe since Glenn.
Really? I didn't find it that gruesome. I guess I've seen a lot of beheadings on television. I don't know what that means about me.
I guess. It wasn't that gruesome because I guess it was pretty clean, right? Like, she's just like,
yeah.
and her head chops right off.
I guess it's more the idea of it's more gruesome, not the actual bloodiness.
Yeah.
Because that's what I said. It was really, really creepy when she, especially because she handed them the head. But I don't know. To some extent, I also, like I said, also kind of found it funny, just like in that, you know, black comedy bizarre kind of way.
They're really going out of their way to establish Alpha as like a psycho leader.
And like I said, I'm not. I mean, I think it's a they're good villains, but I'm not like that. I'm still not that impressed with them as a group. And you guys seem to make me feel like you in the after you, it was something in the comic book, because I know before when they had the W with the wolves, like you had said something like you thought it was going to be the Whispers, and you made it sound like, you know, at least in the comic book, it must have been like this great storyline. But I guess it's kind of like how Negan turned out, not what you expected. Because I don't know, I'm just not really impressed with them. I'm not loving the storyline.
No.
I mean, it's better this season overall.
I agree with you.
It's just slower.
One of the things that's missing, and so one of my favorite Walking Dead recappers is Eric Kane, who writes for Forbes magazine, and also I forget the name of the person who writes for Vulture, but I looked at a couple recaps this week to sort of, like, reinforce my own feeling, which was, like, why does anybody follow Alpha, right? Like, there's nothing to show you what people are getting from her other than they're really afraid. Because as a couple of people pointed out, and numerous fans pointed out online, they don't have a camp. They just sort of sit around in the dirt. They never take their masks off. They don't have any. In the comic book,
we saw they do take their masks off, but
in the comic book, and I purposely flipped back to the comic book earlier today just to double check on this. But while they don't have like buildings and a camp, so to speak, they have a place where they live, and they do keep cows and horses, and they have a little bit of a
community.
I mean, Alpha also articulates better in the comic book for her philosophy that they have to revert to like their animalistic ways, and the ways that animals survive is like, you know, is how she feels the world has changed. But one thing that was really wrong last week is when she's like going to leave that baby to die, and she's like, well, survival of the fittest, and if the baby can't be quiet, the baby dies. And I immediately thought, a mother animal will, like, fight to the death to defend her baby, right? Like, how many nature shows have you watched where, like, mother animals are fighting for their babies? And Alpha has, like, this – not saying that she makes sense in the comic book or she's not insane, but she's a little better articulated, and so I understood her better in the comic book. I don't know if AJ is listening or if he would agree about that. But on TV, she's a little – I do think Samantha Morton's doing a great job.
Yeah.
She is creepy on the show. Also, I think the whispering doesn't play as well. You know how, like, when they're in their camp, they just always talk in whispers to each other, even when there's no zombies around at all?
Yeah, like, why
animal,
are they whispering?
They're always whispering.
Other than they're called the whispers.
Yeah. And I feel like on TV that maybe doesn't play as well as it did in the comic book, where whispering is just written in really small letters. Overall, I think this episode did sort of serve to show how crazy she is, and how, you know, she's got this great right-hand man, Beta, who is played by a pretty – Ryan Hurst plays him, who is a pretty known actor, and I don't know if he's going to get anything to do. Ryan Hurst plays Beta, who people might know from Sons of Anarchy or from
–
He was in Sons of Anarchy. He had a big role in Sons of Anarchy, and he was in I think he was in Bates Motel, maybe, and he's been in a bunch of movies and stuff. He's that guy that's been in two episodes of every show you ever watched, and you totally recognize him if he didn't have that mask on his head.
Yeah, I know. You can't see anything with the mask. The other two things I wanted to mention about this episode is, as much as the parts with Negan per se weren't, like, spectacular, I'm not saying they were what's good, I liked how he was kind of like the, I don't know if I want to say the conduit, that's not the right word, but that it was because of Michonne talking to him and seeing Judith watching him that kind of a lot went down, her conversation with Judith, where she's like, you know, he's still a human being. And not that, I mean, Judith doesn't understand a lot of it. I get that. She didn't see a lot of what he did. But I feel like she obviously knew Michonne has changed, which Michonne hasn't seen. But it's like, as a kid, she kind of sees things from a different perspective. And, you know, it was because of that conversation that Michonne kind of changed her mind in the way she was acting. So I thought that part was pretty good.
It was pretty good, except Michonne changed her mind, but she doesn't really believe, right? Like, Michonne's like, this is a bad idea, but if you all want to, like, hang yourselves, go for it, right? Like, Michonne's not wrong when she says, like, you people want to have a fair when there's, like, people outside these walls who want to kill us, right?
Yeah.
She and Aaron are right that this might be time to cancel the fair.
Right,
the
but
fair
they need
is not
to make their own decision, I think, is the big, you know.
I kind of feel like the fair is not playing well either. Like, what is the big deal with this fair? Like, why is it so important to have this fair right now, right?
Just Carol and Ezekiel think it is. That's why.
Right, yeah. And so, by the way, in the comic book, the fair plays differently. In the comic book, the communities are all kind of doing okay. There's none of this, like, you know how we have this vague thing on the TV show that the kingdom's in trouble and the kingdom might fail? And I don't,
and
no one's
don't
really
exactly
said.
Explain why. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't explain why, and we don't really know what's going on, but things are bad at the kingdom, and they need this fair to survive. And I don't really get that.
I think a lot is that, like, they need food and stuff, so they need them to come together to trade. At least that's what I got part of it out of
right,
it.
Right, but why does it have to
but
be
yeah.
a fair? Why can't they just be like, hey, Michonne, we need trade. Like, let's
yeah,
break up some
the
trade,
other thing,
right?
Michonne was like saying, hey, you know, I told Carol we'd help her. But that doesn't, you know, she doesn't want to go there. And it's like,
yeah.
Carol is being kind of stubborn in that sense, too. But I understand Carol. I mean, it's Michonne in a way that's not being fair. But what she said, too, was right to her. And really, the only thing that should matter is Alexandria. Now, you don't want to do that at the expense of the people who are your friends. But, I mean, they gave her
right.
that job to protect them, not to protect
yeah.
their friends. So you have to look at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the
in the comic,
thing,
it's a little more
sorry,
like, in the comic book, it's just a little more like, hey, things are going good. Let's have a really cool harvest fair. And, you know, it's going to be at Alexandria, and they build all these, like, extra housing, and people are going to come there. And it's a little more like,
yeah, it makes more sense that way.
They're less strident about, we have to do this. And there's none of this, like, someone wants to have it and others don't. Like, everyone's sort of in on it. And it's just, I just feel like they should do a better job of explaining to us why the kingdom is so desperate for this and why, like, what's going on there and why can't they, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get that. The only other thing I want to say is I guess it was kind of obvious if you thought about it, but I hadn't thought it through until he showed up. But so Daryl shows up as a walker and is able to grab them, and it just happened to be. Now, did they bring the herd there? That was the one thing I wasn't sure, because it seemed really good timing that the herd showed up, and I thought maybe they brought them and I missed that part.
I thought the same thing. I thought maybe they brought them and they just didn't show that on screen. That
right.
somehow Daryl and Connie, like, when they
yeah.
killed those two. Which, by the way, I loved when those two, like, killed the two walkers with their slingshot and their arrow, and the dog goes
yeah.
to get the arrow.
Yeah, dog breaks the arrow. But, yeah. But I was
so
gonna
I
say,
assume
I
they
like...
skinned those two.
Yeah,
and then,
well, that's right. They did show something about skinning them, I think, and that was what the what the whispers did, so that makes sense. But
yeah.
But anyway, his idea of dressing up like them, I think, was super smart, because I feel like they know who's at the camp, but I don't think they're going to, like, recognize people's dead faces necessarily. And I
yeah.
would say they need these faces, I'm assuming, to still smell like zombies. So
yeah.
I don't think they're, like, you know, fixing them so they don't smell. So they couldn't even keep the same skin for very long, because it starts to stink really bad. But
did Lydia say on the show you get used to the smell, or maybe she says in the comic book you get used to the smell?
I don't know, but you wouldn't get used to the smell, I don't think.
No.
I mean, even people that work in morgues have Vicks because it stinks. So you don't
yeah.
get used to it. That's also rotting flesh,
yeah.
too. But anyway,
yeah.
I would think they'd change masks once in a while, and they just wouldn't remember who all people are. So I think that actually could be a good way that – even, like, the other people that are going to fight, in his group and that, I think that would be a really smart idea in order to stage an attack. You know, like, everybody dress up, they get confused. I don't know. I just think in the long run, it was smart, and it made
yeah,
sense.
I think it was, too. That was my favorite scene, and it was great. The annoying part was Dopey Henry, who's like, I'm not leaving without Lydia. And
she's like, fine, and grabs both.
And she's like, I'm not going. She's like, I'm not going. And they all, like run off together. I mean, I understood that's how it had to go down for the story to move forward.
Yeah.
But Henry, man, I can't believe that Henry is going to be the new Carl, because, like...
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, if he had, like, a car or something, or a horse, he could have totally knocked Henry out and grabbed him and pulled him there, you know, but he didn't have time to do that. Otherwise, I would think Daryl might have actually done that. I don't know. But there you go. But I think it was decent. And also, you mentioned about recaps. I put this week and last week, I put up recaps and reviews of that show. Since I've been doing the little radio spots and having to look stuff up and write quick recaps, I've been using them, trying to. So even though it's not the best show, that's one of the ones that's up there. And I think Shadowhunters, I forget what I did last week. But those are up there if people want to read. And, I need – there's some stuff going on right now because my grandma's back's bothering her. So I got to help. You guys talk about The Gifted, and when I come back, we'll do Passage, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. Unless you had something else to say, I don't want to cut you off.
No. We're good.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. I'll be back.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you in a minute. So, AJ, we'll talk about the season finale of The Gifted.
I just wanted to throw something out for you for The Walking Dead. You asked while you were talking to Jamie why the Whispers don't feel threatening, why anybody follows Beta. And I'm sure you've thought of this already, and I'm not going to say it in case they plan on doing this some other way, but when the Whispers show up in the comics, there's no, hey, how you doing? Give me my daughter back and all is good. You guys do your thing. We'll do our thing. Okay, have a nice day. No. The Whispers come in hard and heavy and kill like 8 people.
Yeah.
And then infiltrate the fair. And then after
that. Well, the fair didn't happen yet on the show, so let's not.
Yeah.
The fair's next week on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. But that, you know, so they hadn't even met the Whispers until after they met the Whispers after they found 8 people dead. So.
Yeah.
That's why the Whispers don't feel threatening on the show, because, you know, once again, they're changing things up and removing an iconic scene from the comics for the diehard fans.
Yeah. Because in the comic book, Carl goes after Lydia, and there's no Daryl rescuing him. Rick has to go out and parlay with Alpha.
Yeah. And that's after the people have already been killed.
He pre-parlays and then, so those people are killed. Yeah, it's totally different way it goes down. I think there's stuff that happens in the comic that they're going to be unwilling to put on the show. Like, you know, in the comic book two weeks ago, it was explained, you know, Lydia's covered with bruises and she talks about, and she's been beaten, and it's clear to Daryl that she's been beaten a lot. And they skip the whole part where in the comic book, Lydia comes clean to Carl that Alpha allows Lydia to basically be raped by any man in the Whisperer's camp. She passes her daughter around to any of the men who want to have her. And Lydia says something like, well, it's not rape because that doesn't exist anymore. Animals, like, it's not rape when animals take each other. And I think the comic book, the show, for good reason, is not going to go there. I don't think they should go there necessarily. Things that happen in the comic book might not be appropriate for television and might not be able to be done sensitively on television. You've got maybe an underage actress and whatever. So not that you can't talk about it or act it, but you know what I mean? I think the show might not go there. I mean, they haven't gone there. They didn't. They won't go there. That would have come out by now, because that's one reason Carl goes after
her. Yeah, they haven't already done it.
Carl goes after her because the abuse is so horrific. People are going to lose their lives to the Whisperers, but she's much more horrific in the book. So,
all right. Well, anyway.
All right. Gifted.
So, I got to say, we were off on so many things.
Right?
I, for one, when we were predicting things last week, I said, well, clearly Amy Acker and what's his name?
Stephen Moyer.
Stephen Moyer. Are, you know, they're the top billed actors on the show. They're safe.
Nope, not safe.
But you know,
although
what?
I have to say,
go ahead. Say.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that the way.
Go ahead.
You say. No. Finish, you go, and then I'll go. Go.
All right.
You have to say.
Matt Nix was clearly a fan of Lost. because it was pretty obvious what was going to happen to Reed because he got his flashback redemption episode.
Yep. Yeah. Which I think was unnecessary. I do think in the end how it played out, that Reed sacrificing himself for his family and for mutant kind, but really for his family, it felt earned. While I maybe didn't see it coming, it felt earned and it made sense when he did it. But I didn't need the flashback to set it up. I think what I've seen of Reed over this past season set it up believably, and I didn't necessarily need all of that, like, backstory of how and why he, like, I know that when he joined Sentinel Services, he was doing the right thing. And, you know, I know that he changed. I mean, it wasn't horrible. It didn't totally annoy me, but they could have cut that 20 minutes out of the show and it would have made just as much sense to me.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know if you feel that way. But it felt earned at the end, I think.
Oh, absolutely, it felt earned. It made perfect sense. And, you know, I kept saying to Artie the whole time, I was like, Reed doesn't necessarily have to, I was like, there's a chance he survives because it's his power, and he's not going to blow up from his power, because if his power was going to blow him up, he'd disintegrate when he disintegrates. You know what I mean? Usually your power doesn't affect you the way it affects somebody outwardly. So there was a part of me thinking that he could easily have survived it. Would he survive the fall as the building collapsed? Probably not. but then all those thoughts were put to the side when I told you I read that article with the interview with Matt Nix. And Matt Nix clearly states in the interview, Reed is actually dead. It's not one of these. He's going to show up later. He's dead. So,
okay. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. He had a full arc. He found his redemption and he overcame his fear or whatever. And, you know.
I like it. I like it for two reasons. One, because I like killing off, you know, your big name characters on a show, because he's not necessarily needed to the show to succeed. You know, the show family, but it's more about the kids. That's number one. And actually, that's both reasons pretty much rolled into one.
I also think, you know, Reed has been a less important part. Not that he's not an important part of the family, but they haven't developed and driven his story as much as, I mean, so he's been in it as a necessary part of explaining the Von Strucker legacy and how the X-Gene came to be in his kids and all this kind of thing. But he sort of hasn't adapted the way, like, I look at Caitlin, who could believe that she'd be my favorite character. And she was such a badass. I think my favorite scenes were the ones of Amy Acker with two gun in each hand, like firing away.
Oh, that
right?
was awesome.
She was awesome, but she is the parent character who has developed so much and come so far and really is the driving force, particularly with Lauren and with Andy now. And I, like, if someone had to go, Reed is the expendable parent, right? I'd rather keep Caitlin and say goodbye to Reed.
Absolutely.
I'm a little, I'm still a little uncomfortable with Andy. You and I had talked for weeks about Andy being, you know, is he unredeemable and can Andy come back? And he's accepted back immediately. I can see why by Caitlin. Lauren, who was so much more in touch with Andy's feelings, accepts him pretty quickly also, as well as everybody else. And, he, you know, we have the scene where Reed forgives him. And it's like, oh, you're always my son. And, you know, and I guess Andy's fully, like, back a good guy again. Although in this episode, Andy says, like, everything I did because I thought it was the right thing to do, which is not really an excuse, because you still killed tons of people, right? And thought it was okay for your little girlfriend to kill people. And he did, in fact, enjoy killing that guy at the compound. He was, like, torturing that guy at the compound, and he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
They're sort of, like, glossing over that. And the other thing is Esme. Esme is accepted into the group in the final scene.
Well, yeah, because she helps you know.
She does at the last minute. She does. Yeah.
Kind of. We've been saying that for a while now. That
she would break off with her sisters.
Coming.
Who I think the other two are dead. Are we to assume the other two are dead? You know, she says I can't leave them, but she does leave them.
I don't know. I don't know if Carlos killed them or if he just knocked them out. That wasn't really clear.
Yeah.
I felt like they were still kind of like moving or breathing or something maybe, but I can't see 100%. I think if they were dead, I think that Esme would have been a little more. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. At any rate, so I'm really happy to see the end of Reva and the end of Ryan, and like this chapter is firmly closed, right? This is like a totally done chapter now, which I'm pleased about. I was getting a little sick of Reva. I mean, let's face it, she wasn't even in like multiple episodes, right? She's like the big bad that isn't really like that important to the plot. And I was a little like knocked down with her power. Like I didn't really like on Heroes either. When you have someone whose power like supersedes everyone else's power and seemingly is like indestructible,
right.
Like no one had a power greater than Reva's power. And in the end, Reed only like killed her because he malfunctioned and because Reva like, you know, didn't really understand what could happen there. It was like an accident that she was killed. Right. Although it seems to me he could have just, if he got up there with a gun, couldn't he just shot her? Like, why need to take a gun and shoot her? She's not bulletproof, right?
It's not as dramatic.
Yeah. But I'm glad all that's done because this show might be canceled and it felt like a, it can be an okay series finale, don't you think?
Yeah, clearly left the door open for other stuff. But it did close out what we've seen in these first two seasons. It was a nice little close to the chapter of these first two seasons. We spoke messages earlier today that neither of us got the warm and fuzzy that it was going to get renewed. I read an interview with Matt Nix that he doesn't get a warm and fuzzy. But I think a lot of this stuff inside the Marvel Universe is corporate dictated right now. I mean, this is speculation on my part, but I mean, kind of coincidental. All the Marvel Netflix shows have been canceled, and now there's even though Disney owns Fox now, and this is on Fox, it just feels like things are moving in a streaming service. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we lose all network stations in a couple of years, just because of the way everything's going with all these streaming services.
Right. So the issue being that Disney owns the rights to the X-Men, but Fox makes this show and only has the rights to like a few X-Men, Disney owns the rights to the Marvel Universe, right? Owns Marvel. Disney owns Marvel, right?
Well, Disney owns Fox now. So
until the merger is like going through now, but Disney owns Marvel and now they have bought Fox. Disney owns Marvel, Fox has the rights for this show, and now Disney has bought Fox, and so they're all coming under the same umbrella, which you would think would make it cheaper because Disney doesn't have to, or Fox doesn't have to pay Disney for the rights, or Disney doesn't have to buy the show from Fox or whatever, but Disney's launching their own streaming service. And what's suspicious is that Disney is launching their own streaming service this summer, so could these Marvel shows all be canceled because they're going to move on to the Disney service?
I don't know.
How do you feel?
I don't know how it's all going to work out, but.
How do you feel about the last scene? Blink comes back in the end. Blink, we've talked about
we didn't think
Blink was really dead.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. And clearly wherever she blinked to, she got patched up and healed because she's looking mighty fine for somebody that got shot three times. So wherever she, I think it's pretty obvious that she did some because of in her dying state as she was shot. I think she discovered something else about her power, which is that she can apparently blink into the future.
That's what
I think.
It was future.
Obvious.
I think it was future Blink that they saw.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
future
I, well,
Blink because she had those
blink,
little like,
but I think
from the future came back to meet them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think when Blink, you know, when John saw her fall and blink somewhere else, I think she blinked into the future. And then I think, you know, that's their, you know, it's her, you know, their blink. I think she's been in the future this whole time, and now she's coming back to get them to help with something.
Well, I think she blinked. Do you remember there was a scene where she was with John and she was talking about like her abusive past and
right.
how when she wants, she used to look up into the sky and wish she could figure a way to
yep.
portal herself into the stars. And they like, that was like
yeah,
a long
was,
scene where she went on and on about it. Right.
That was the beginning of last episode.
So I feel that was like some big foreshadowing of where of she must've in her dying moments, like portaled herself to the stars or the future or whatever. But I do think that was a blink portaling from the future to them. You know, she had those little like sort of like knives that she threw to open the portal. She's no longer like using
yeah,
her
was,
hands to
yeah,
like open the portal. That was new, right? That was a new way of opening the portal. So
yeah,
she's that was sort of a future-y giveaway also. Like she's learned something, as you said. And so whether that's our blink as a time traveler now and move through time, or whether that was a future version of her, like it gave me a little bit of a, it made me think about Legion and how the girlfriend in Legion, whose name I forget, the blonde, came, you know, the future girlfriend was talking about
right.
like, I mean, I don't think it's the same thing, but she's that's the X-Men universe also. And she has, I'm not saying it's the same thing, but it made me think about that. But she's definitely been in the future. Yeah. Unfortunately, if it's canceled, I would be sad because I really came to like it, but I can be okay with this being the end of it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it was definitely a nice little wrap up.
And they left really no cliffhanger.
No, other than the future part of it. Something we didn't talk about. I really was happy with seeing Jace in the hospital after the beating that John gave him.
Yep.
Okay with
and,
that, because know how I felt about Jace for a while now.
I have too. And there's that moment where he sort of like begs John to kill. He's like, go ahead, kill me. I want to be with my little girl. Kill me. And John doesn't kill him. And I felt like, maybe that's not John like being a good guy and sparing him. Maybe that's John being like, oh, you want to be your little girl? I'm not like giving you that peace. You're going to have to live with what you've become, kind of thing. But so John doesn't kill him. John does the right thing. And Jace is not redeemed in the end, right? He's got to like live with like what he's... We talked about this a lot. I agree with you that Jace is irredeemable, and I'm glad they didn't give him a storyline where he turns around at the last minute, like against the purifiers or tries to help them. And I was really annoyed in this episode where they showed Ryan talking to Jace, and there's some discussion about like getting justice for your little girl. And I thought, like, this is totally wrong because these are not the people that killed your little girl. These are not the people that were in Dallas on 7/11 or whatever date it is, July 5th or whatever it is. And this idea that he's going to get justice for his little girl by killing totally uninvolved people is really twisted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm glad that he, I agree with you. I'm glad that he, they showed him in the hospital. And I'm kind of glad he's not dead. Like, it'd be satisfying for him to be dead, but it's kind of satisfying for just to be like a loser also. So.
All right.
All right.
I guess that's it. Jamie, are you back?
I guess that's about it,
yep,
yeah.
Yep, I'm here. Sorry about that. I kept it muted. I listened to some of what you said.
No,
I heard you said.
I didn't want to know ahead of time, but oh well.
I was afraid we'd be done and you weren't here back yet.
No, I was waiting. Sorry about that. I think we're going to have to take up to the hospital again tomorrow. I think she cracked another bone. I hate that. I feel bad, but anyway. So let's All right,
so on to the passage.
The passage.
Yep. So this is the last one before the season finale. Well, before the double season finale, I guess. So what did you guys think? Whoops.
So it felt a little bit, you know, as I would expect of the penultimate episode of any season, it was a little bit about moving pieces into place for the season finale. There was like a lot of stuff going on that wasn't, you know, a ton of action. Like there was all this part with Amy and what's his name, the vampire guy, which was a little slow. And I thought the whole flashback with Clark and Shauna, is that her name, was a little slow.
Clark and Shauna, yeah.
And a little, for me, unnecessary, lengthy flashback. But it had a good twist at the end. I didn't really see that twist coming, where the director of security had totally been the vampire faking out mustache guy. Like,
yeah,
I really
I thought
liked
that was
that
really
twist
cool
when
Brad brought him in. I'm thinking, what is he doing? And it's like, oh. And then you kind of get the reveal that it's the same guy. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Well, I love the reveal that this kind of horrible guy that we hate, and we know he's an idiot, turns out to totally be an idiot and have been fooled from like the very jump.
Yeah, he wasn't just being an ass necessarily. He was just stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, not that he was a nice guy per se, but he was just
Did you see that coming at all? I totally fell for it, which made it great.
No, I definitely did not. I mean, we've said before about that guy being just wanting, I think I felt more like he just wanted the results and didn't care, but I don't think I felt like he was that stupid, at least not until this episode. But yeah, having it be the viral, I thought that was really cool. And that does, finally they showed some more of them. Because that's where I said before, you forget and it gets confusing that, there are, you know, X amount of other, because there's 12 of them, whatever, virals. See, I thought, though, that when Elizabeth killed herself, it meant that they wouldn't have 12 with Amy. I didn't understand that Amy was going to become the 12th one. Because I thought that, like, he was counting her because he assumed she was going
to
be turning.
You know,
anyway.
Elizabeth would have been the 12th to turn, and so now he needs Amy to turn and be the 12th.
Yeah, well, because you
knew
that.
For some unknown reason.
Right, but I think we kind of all assumed at some point that she was going to be the one that mattered, you know, so it didn't. But, I was just going to say that, like, it was cool, bad, though, because, not bad, but I mean, like, for them, like, the thing that was interesting is that they seem to have possibly found, and we don't really know because she didn't try it, but it seems to have possibly found a cure, but she can't get it to her in time, you know, which really sucks. But I guess she made her own decision, so I'm not sure exactly. I'm guessing that she's, like, a viral, but she can control, you know, and do what she wants, probably. And I still wonder if some of that has to do with age rather than just willpower, because Carter obviously still has his own mind, more so than the others, and can fight him. He can't completely, but he can. So it would make sense that Amy, you know, is even more resilient and strong against him.
Yeah, no, AJ, what did you think? And did you see that twist coming?
Did not see the twist coming. Loved it, though. Thought it was a great little twist. Overall, I just felt like it was, you know, a lot of times the penultimate episode before the finale, a lot of times, is actually the better episode. This wasn't one of those times, because I think, you know, you have one of two things. You either have the episode right before the finale as the better of the two, because the finale kind of wraps things up, or you have the episode that's the setup episode for the big
finale.
That's what I felt this was. This was the setup episode, kind of pieces in place and finish giving you the things you need going into the finale. So this was just a lot of setup for next week's 2-hour finale.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's technically sort of two episodes left, too, in a way. I mean, I know they put it together.
You know
what,
though? I got to say, I think my favorite scene of the entire episode, though, is when Shauna is trying to convince Clark to be her one. She's like, I can give you safe passage, but you have to choose, you know, us and this and that and everything. And I loved it. He just goes in, gives her this deep kiss, pulls back, and he's like, nah, I'm good.
I know, that was
funny. That was awesome. why not get the kiss before you tell her you go ahead and kill me?
I feel that, I don't know why, but I kind of feel like something might happen to him. I mean, I haven't seen anything yet, but I kind of, I don't know. I guess because he did that, because, like, now he's all full in on their side. I feel like at least one of the good characters is going to die anyway. Do you feel like that? I don't know. I just feel like something, somebody's about to get cut down. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I feel like that. I mean, I think it's not a bad guess that in a season finale about vampires that someone will
die,
right?
That's true.
So I felt like I didn't really need that entire lengthy flashback because we've seen multiple Clark and Shauna flash. I don't know why Clark and Shauna are getting so much time, but gotten so much flashback together already. And it's already clear that he's attracted to her and he's got a soft spot for her. And I didn't need another event in which basically nothing happened. He like feels sorry for her and takes her to the diner for dinner, right? Like nothing really happens that adds anything to what I didn't know already.
Yeah, I think just the conversation they had in real life was the important part.
Yeah, so it was filler and didn't add much for me. I think Clark is going to die because he has been like this jerk character for so long who like, you know, thought it was okay to test on children, like ordered the kidnapping of this child, like has been like working against Brad for so long. And I feel like now that he's sort of like
redeemed
seen how
bit.
Bad Project Noah is, I mean, I don't even want to say that he turned good because he basically just saw everything he believed in was like a lie.
He finally
and was, like,
saw the truth. Yeah.
Fallacy of this. I mean, the truth was there. He was just, but
he
I
just
feel like the fact that
he was on the wrong side, I guess.
The fact that he finally came around puts him ripe for death. I think he's like, I think what more can there be for his storyline? His arc has come to a point where, I mean, unless he's going to go on the run with our group of characters, right? Unless he's going to be on the run with Amy and Brad and the wife and whoever else makes it out of there. I think Clark could be the one who has to go. I could see Clark dying. I could also see Brad's wife dying because she doesn't really add very much to the show, except that she's a doctor and they need like scientific people to be on the show, right?
Yeah.
To be looking for a cure and stuff.
Or Sykes or Jonas, really. I don't want any of them to die, but I just feel like one of them is gonna. And I don't know why I feel like it's going to be Clark, so
I think,
after watching this, I kind of felt like it.
I agree. I definitely think Clark is probably the most likely to go. I disagree with, I don't remember her name now. Lila?
Shauna?
Is that the wife?
The wife is Lila,
Wife. I think she's safe because I don't think they're going to do that to Brad. Because he's already lost his daughter and he's so, you know, worried about taking care of Amy. I mean, I already know how the show is going to end. It could be a happy little family for Brad, Lila, and Amy. They're going to go frolic off and, you know, whenever the show ends. I think everything's pointing at Clark fighting the big one. Or, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Shauna turn Clark. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, that would be kind of interesting.
And I don't feel that Clark is strong enough to not succumb to the darkness of it.
I was going to say they don't need another person, but I think that was kind of the point that she's like, I'm going to save you, so... Yeah,
but they do. If Amy doesn't turn, they need a 12th. They need a 12th to get out of
there. That's true, too. I hadn't thought about that. But Amy did turn.
No,
I don't think she's going to be able to be controlled.
We see Amy turn right at the end.
Yeah.
Amy's eyes change colors.
I think turning for Amy is not the same as it is for the rest
of
them.
Right, I agree. Yeah, because I don't think he's going
to
listen at all.
No, I agree with that. But who's to say that she has to be exactly like them in order for whatever this meeting to... I mean, I feel like it's 12 monkeys.
and that's one of the problems I have with the show, actually, is that there's so much about this vampire thing that's not explained. Like, why do they need 12? What does that mean? like, it's been positioned, it's been given to us as like a very scientific virus kind of thing. It's all set in science, and that this idea of needing 12 feels more like a cult to me, and that's not explained to us. And also, you know, Shauna's like, we're all allowed to have one. I can give you safe, you can be my one, I'll give you safe passage. Like, since when do they all have a one? And if they get a one, like, why, like, what is that all
maybe
about, right?
Made
I guess,
it up to
I guess,
get them to listen.
Well, you know, in some shows, vampires have familiars in some vampire stories. So are they going to be familiars? And you're going to be like the servant? Like, there's a bunch of this vampire stuff that's not explained to us. And I feel a little bit like they're not. I feel a little annoyed.
I just figured he wasn't powerful enough to break out until then. But yeah, it seems like there's more significance to it.
They need, every time another one turns, they get more powerful. That's what the doctors have said.
Right. Like, if they're wolves, I'd say he needs a pack, but they're not, so.
I mean, I could see Sykes dying also, because Sykes also is a kind of a, she also is a person that thought it was okay to experiment on a little girl and has been, you know, in Project No all this time, and she now makes a move to save Amy, and so her story, she could die inside there. Her story could be over. Because Sykes, like, what does Sykes contribute as they move outside of Project Noah? Like, any of these Project Noah people could. Can we talk about the Water Boy? I can't believe I never called that guy the Water Boy before yesterday. His name is Lawrence. That creepy.
Yeah,
Lawrence,
why does he talk? Why does he talk like Adam Sandler in the Water Boy? I don't like. I've always thought that guy was a little bit like. Why do they have this squirrely guy? It's the ultimate like. Biohazard level, like, for 1 million biohazard level, the ultimate, like, secret government facility, and they have a bunch of jackass janitors working there. Like, there was also the guy that was constantly, like, harassing Shayna. And with Shayna? Shauna? Blondie? He was always at Blondie's cage, like, harassing
her. Maybe they
her.
Want people that wouldn't know anything and wouldn't cause a problem, which obviously didn't work, but
I can't believe there's any way that anybody in that facility is not full-on military, like special forces trained to work there. And that they have that guy who's always harassing them, and then the Water Boy also works there. They, like, these guys are like mentally deficient idiots working there, and I just, like, that makes no sense to me how that guy got in there in the first place, except that they needed a character who could be easily mentally overwhelmed by the vampires. That guy really was bothering me a lot in this episode, mostly because of the Adam Sandler routine. And so he easily, not only is he easily controlled by the vampire to set himself free and then go in there and like let everybody out or whatever. Guy probably, I think he could die because the vampires could be, I mean,
I think he will, but yet he's still like, I'm sorry, I didn't have a choice. Yeah, but yet you're doing it. You're going to die. So that was kind of a dumb choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he probably would die. I mean, I don't know, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, possibly a whole bunch of people will die. I mean, I figure we're going to see something. I mean, obviously, Amy and Brad will get out of there. By the way, we had a very tiny, small, short scene where Brad's friend from the Army, the lady whose house they were at, whose name I always remember, she's. His friend from the Army who said, like, my job is to protect the black lady.
Yeah, Lacey.
What's her name? Lacey. So Lacey's hitchhiking and gets into a semi-truck and says, oh, thanks for picking me up. Where are you going, Telluride? Oh, I am too. Oh, what a coincidence. Like, I'm sorry. That one who picked her up is so totally a government agent, right?
Probably.
She's so...
I'm really
that truck
in a tractor trailer?
That woman in the tractor trailer is clearly some Project Noah agent or some nefarious person. Like, I mean, why would they show that scene at all if it wasn't, like, going to be meaningful that she gets into
it? Lacey's coming back. That was all I took
out. I'm going
to
tell you, right? Oh, so am I. And the other one's like, oh, so am I. Oh, and then she goes, oh, it's so lucky you picked me up or something like that. I was like, oh, my God, could they just put, like, flashing red lights all around the scene? Like, this is important. I felt like it was really maybe I'm overthinking it, but I felt like, oh, my God, this is
you read way more into it than I did.
Yeah, me too. I just thought it was to say that she was back. But, I mean, that's a good idea. It could be, right? It makes sense.
I mean, why would they even show it if it wasn't some, you know – setup there. I think it was a setup. Because they know who Lacey is. She's on their, like, wanted list or whatever as a friend of Brad's.
Yeah, as true.
An FOB. So what do you guys think about the extended, boring scenes of Amy and Fanning in the dream world? I thought they were quite boring.
I think Fanning's boring. A little boring, but at least she made her own decision.
I think the tunnel was a little boring. The tunnel scene was all you really needed.
Right. It just was a little too literal for me, I guess. I don't know. But at the same time, it made sense. But, yeah, you didn't need him trying to be like, oh, hey, here's a bike. Like, he's being her friend. Like, she didn't fall for it anyway. So what was the point?
Well, it really shows an underestimation of Amy. Like, Fanning's like, oh, let me give this kid a bike and then she'll be my friend. Like, first of all, what kid hasn't been – how many times, AJ, have you taught your kids don't accept bikes from strangers, right? Like, Amy is far
– I thought it was Candy. I'm kidding.
She's like, what kid would fall for that ever? And then Amy is, like, far too intelligent to fall for it and far too on to him, right?
Well, she's also in her head, though, and she created the world.
I know.
Maybe he could hurt her in there. I don't know.
He's in her head. He's trying to convince her to join him, right? And he does that.
It's not real, is all I meant. Like, she knows it's not.
No, but. Right? But they always know it's not real and they still fall for it, right? Like, Carter ended up turning.
That's true.
Like,
That's
I mean,
true.
I think there's more to it than Amy being young. Like, Amy, so, you know, it's been established that the younger you are, the less it affects you or the longer it takes before you turn. And as Jamie pointed out, Carter still has some of his own will. And is not happy with having been turned and has some ability to work against Fanning. But Amy being the youngest, but I think there's more to it. I think maybe there's something more special about Amy. I mean, Amy's a true innocent, right? Like Carter never actually killed anyone. Shauna maybe had some extenuating circumstances, but she still killed two people. One of them, like, and the stepfather, like, legit in cold blood, right? Okay, the stepfather had, like, abused her horribly, but the mother,
right,
she reacts
mother.
Out of, like, anger, and then she goes into the next room and kills the other guy also, right, or whatever.
I don't know. To me, it's more that she doesn't have any remorse for it. Like, not that it's okay to kill people, but, like, you're right, it's extenuating circumstances, and you can feel kind of bad for her in that sense, but... You don't go kill people, and she obviously isn't sad about it. Like, she isn't trying to repent, or maybe you'd feel a little different.
Right. And then there's Winston's a total serial killer, and the rest of them were all on death row for whatever reason. And then Fanning maybe, okay, he's not a killer, but he's a really bad person, an egomaniac who, like, tried to steal another guy's wife and feels no remorse and really wants to take over the world with vampires. So Amy's, like, the only true innocent, and I wonder if that is a part of it also, not just being young, but being like
just
really
like,
the only good person that they've tried this on.
Now,
I don't
Winston,
know.
They killed Winston, right? I'm just trying to remember if he got away. I can't remember. Because I'm just wondering, did they have to replace him?
That's why he needs 12 still, because Carter was 12.
Okay, that's why I get confused. That's what I was wondering.
He hadn't turned yet.
Oh, Carter would have been the 12th.
Before
Carter, they could turn Carter, yeah. So, Jamie, you have not read the books?
No.
And AJ, you haven't read the books, and I haven't.
No.
I have not read them either, but I did a little bit reading up on the books and this adaptation. And
yeah, I did
so the books apparently are considered by many to be unadaptable because they are very dense. And in the books, which apparently are really big, at one of the sites I read referred to them as a doorstop. So they're like maybe Game of Thrones level of length. I'm not sure. But they're big, long books. And apparently they jump backwards and forwards in the timeline of the story over like thousands of years. Like from like when the vampires first started, whenever that was hundreds or thousands of years ago that the vampires were with us, through the story we're seeing with Brad. And then in the, like, way in the future after what happened. Like, they jump all around, and they're really dense, and there's a lot going on, and the science and whatever. And so this is a really simplified
version. Yeah, I think a lot of it's in the future. That was my understanding. Because I wondered if the second season maybe is going to be all different characters,
except
Amy. But
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that in order to adapt it, they had to give us a storyline we could grab onto. And not that this doesn't happen in this book. Apparently it does. I haven't read them, and someone could correct me. But that they gave us sort of a simplified. They had to really strip it down for TV and give us something that we and then we need an entry point as viewers, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you just like dense TV, just dense stories are hard to.
I don't know. I mean, I could see another season as them still kind of before that all happens. I mean, maybe they could add the period that maybe isn't in the book because they jump. I mean, maybe we get to see what happens before they, you know, they jump forward. And
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, as much as I really don't like Fanning as a person and a character, like Fanning is really like, it's funny because he's not a killer, but he's maybe the least likable of all the people that we've met who are vampires. As much as I don't like him, I'm enjoying the story. I think where a lot of vampire stories go wrong and where I think something like Van Helsing kind of went off the rails is when they get into like vampire origin stories and it's necessary. Now we got to go after like the king vampire or we got to go after the master. Like remember in what was that Benicio del that Guillermo del Toro thing that we watched? The Strain. In The Strain, they had to go after the master. And in Van Helsing, they had to go after the Ba. And they keep having to go after these ancient original vampire big bads. And I'm enjoying just watching that show where it's just Fanning being the big bad right now. And I don't know if they'll go to a point where they have to get to the master vampire because it is established that on this show that if you kill Fanning, the rest of them, everyone he creates will die, right? Everyone who's made from Fanning's strain of the virus will also die.
Yeah. They ought to kill
they
all
can't
the rest
just kill
of them
Fanning.
Though. They could kill her, you know, kill everybody but him.
And I guess that means, remember when they went in the cage and in the pilot, they go in a cave and there's that vampire in a cage and it bites Fanning. So I guess they never killed that one because Fanning would be dead, right?
That's a good question.
I guess that thing got away.
I think they goofed.
Yeah,
I'm
I thought
pretty sure
dead,
they
it might have got away.
You think
that's
they killed it?
I thought
because then
I
how could Fanning
wrong,
be alive?
No,
well,
he's saying that if they shouldn't have,
That's my point. I think they goofed.
And they shouldn't have killed it.
I thought they hunted it down or something.
Fanning's
right
alive.
I could have sworn they killed that vampire right after it bit Fanning. And I think they might have went oopsie. Because
how could he ever turn?
Nobody noticed.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
All right.
So, as much as I didn't thoroughly enjoy the Amy dream world sequences, partly because I always hate dream worlds, right? And I hate Fanning, and I thought it maybe went on too long. And was I really like Amy. I really think that kid is a great actress.
Yeah.
And she's not overly like, she's just really natural and not trying too hard. And I think they've really got something with her and Mark Paul Gosselaar. They're a really nice combo.
Yeah, I agree. They fit well together.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I should mention before I forget I think I told you guys, I can't remember for sure, but anyway, I'm going to be talking to, I don't want to pronounce his name wrong. I think it's Vincent Piazza, but the one who plays Clark Richards on Thursday. So people can tweet me questions if they want.
What's your Twitter?
At Sci-Fi Vision.
I know it.
No, I know. That's I should sometimes listening. Say that. It's SCIFIVISION. Yeah, but no, you're right. I should say that. But yeah, people can send me questions, and that will, unless something goes wrong, that will be up before the finale. Well, unless they tell me to hold it, I shouldn't say that because it depends if they're spoilers. But it will either be up before the finale or probably right after, one of the two. So. And then,
cool. I guess you won't.
Yeah,
I guess he won't tell you if he's gonna die.
What?
I guess he won't tell you if he's gonna die.
I don't know. I have the screeners for the finale. I just haven't seen it yet, so I might know whether
or
not that happens. But I have no idea. Some people know. I have not seen it. You know, that was just my conjecture. But yeah. So I don't know. I'll have to see at least I think both parts are there. We'll see. But yeah, that's why I'm thinking it's probably, with the questions I ask, might be spoilery, so it might have to be put up right after the finale. But that's interesting.
But I don't know. I'm excited. So I'm going to try to think of some questions. One of the things that I wondered about Clark this week is, like, why is he so susceptible to Shayna? Like,
Shauna.
Why is he so – Shauna. Like, he's a special forces guy. He was, like, in Afghanistan with, like, Brad. He's killed a bunch of people. He's like, some kind of, like, hard-ass – I don't know if he's an interrogator or whatever he does, but he's, like, one cold son of a bitch. And yet he's really susceptible to this. First of all, she's age inappropriate. She's like 22. And she's a killer, and she's like, she's condemned one way or the other. And like, why is he so, of all the people, like, is it just 'cause she's like,
you know, not
hot?
Many people though, once they went after them, could really push them away though, if you think about it. Like, whether they wanted to or not.
I guess, would he fall for her even if she wasn't a vampire and getting in his brain? Because he was falling for her before she was able to do that to him, right? Like,
yeah,
when
and I
she
question
when,
if he had a choice if he would have followed her.
Yeah,
I mean,
when he finds her on the,
know what happens, but.
When he finds her on the grounds and takes her to dinner, she's not mind-messing him, right? She's, like,
right.
not
well,
turned yet and unable
right.
to. Yeah, so I kind of wondered, like, would he have fallen for her anyway, and why, like, he's going back on all of his training and all of his experience and all of anything, and, like why?
Oh, pretty easy,
yeah.
That's my question.
All right, so that's my question for him.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, is there anything else? I'm trying to think. I think that's all I got to say about it.
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right.
So next week, we're down to just two shows to cover. There's nothing new premiering this week that I'm aware of.
No, I don't think. But OA's coming. We said, what day was it? You looked it up.
March 22nd, the OA drops.
22nd. Okay, yeah. So we'll probably, not that, a few days after, but the following week, we'll be talking about that. So, and I hope
give everybody some time to watch it.
Time. I loved the first one. So if you haven't seen
it, I'm
going to
rewatch it.
Yeah, I really liked it. That was cool. All right.
All right.
Well,
and
if there's anything else to add.
Real quick.
Oh. Yeah.
Karen, I'm sure you saw today the Game of Thrones trailer that was released.
Oh, yeah. That's
that
the final trailer.
We've got that in a little more than a month to look forward to, so.
March 8th, yeah. So no time to rewatch that show, but we don't really need to. So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Okay.
So.
Okay, guys.
All right.
The only other thing I was going to ask is, AJ, are you going to see Captain Marvel?
I'm planning on it. I don't know if I'm going to be seeing it opening weekend, but I'll see it some point.
Okay. I just wonder, because I probably won't go see it because I don't really care so much about the characters, but in that one. But I'm curious,
actually,
like, how it. Although I will eventually watch it. I just don't know if I want to spend that much money to go to the theater to see it. But I want to know kind of how it relates to MCU and everything, and if there's any bonus scenes that are connected to Endgame or whatever. That's the main parts I want to know.
If there, there's going to definitely be a connection to Endgame.
Oh, I'm sure, but that's what
probably
I mean. I want to know what it is.
Probably at the end of the movie.
Yeah, you'll have to tell me that once you see it.
Speaking of movies, real quick, actually. So, the family and I, we went to see How to Train Your Dragon 3 on opening weekend, and it was awesome. So, if you like the How to Train Your Dragon series, go see the third movie if you haven't already. Really good.
Yeah,
I saw Alyssa posted on Facebook that she thought it was really excellent also.
Of course she did. She posts everything on Facebook.
She does. Your life is on Facebook through her. But she said it was really good. Yeah, I haven't seen the first two. And I mean, it's not really my thing. But
I want to see it. I had wanted to see it before. I just never got around to it.
All right. So we can
all
add it
really
to the list.
Yep.
All right. Good to know.
Okay,
all right.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks to you two for being here, and we'll be back next week.
Okay, have a good week, you guys.
Folks. Thank you, everybody, and good night.
Good night. Bye-bye. Bye.